Hello, and welcome to the All Bets Are Off podcast, a gambling addiction recovery podcast brought to you by those with lived experience. If you're here and having difficulties with gambling, please reach out. There are plenty of people on your side. There's a comprehensive list of support services over on our website, www.allbetsareoff.co.uk. It's now time to crack on with the pod.
Hello and welcome to the All Bets Are Off podcast, in which today I am joined by a very, very special guest, the founder of QuickGamble.com, Andus Bergman. Now, before we go on to talk about QuickGamble, I think it's best to start with hearing a little bit about your background and the journey that you've been on, Andus.
Thank you. Thank you for welcoming me. It's fun to be on the show. Yeah, I actually come from the gambling industry from the beginning. I've been working in the field, so I have a little different background from most other people working with problem gambling, I think. Some might say it's a strength, some might say it's a weakness, but I definitely see it as a strength myself. And I think we have something good to add there.
Yeah, 100%. So a little bit about your background. So you're originally from Sweden, which funnily enough is a country that I absolutely love, because anyone who knows me will tell you of my love for Eurovision. And so despite never visiting there, I have mad respect for the six-time winners. Anyway, that's a totally different topic. And so you've gone from Sweden and now live in Malta, which, as we all know, is a hub of gambling activity. So was it a case of your job taking you to Malta?
Yes, I finished university. I'm an engineer and an economist in the background. I studied a lot of psychology on the side, and to be honest with you, I have a lot of points on the university, but the side education in psychology, personal development, and so on is probably the most interesting part for me. And I started off getting a top job at a very big company in Sweden. I hold that position for 6 months, and after that, they realized that, hey, we need someone with more experience. And I couldn't argue that, because it was an insane job. And my brother worked in the field of gambling, and he said, hey, come to Malta and start working in gambling. It's fun. It's a fun business.
And I suspect it was nicer weather as well.
Sweden is a fantastic country, but weather-wise, it might only be UK that is worse. So amazing weather on Malta, horrible weather in Sweden.
Yep, and we've seen on numerous occasions where people have come from the gambling industry and, you know, in some cases successfully done good things, at least from my perspective. But I can totally understand for some, especially those that have suffered harm, that they often see industry people as the living devil. Now, the main purpose of today's show is to talk about the revolutionary, all-encompassing QuickGamble.com. Needless to say, I'm really keen to explore the purpose, which, to be honest, based on the title, really ought to be quite self-explanatory. But I'm really keen to hear about the thought process behind the project. So let's start at the very beginning with the conceptualization phase. When was it that you started to think about this, and what were the motives behind it?
I have worked for myself the entire time. We have basically compared casinos online. It's also called affiliation, basically. You compare casinos, look for strengths and weaknesses, and you show that to customers. So we have quite extensive experience of different online casinos. I think I have collaborated with 500 casinos over the years. Some are good, some are less good.
From an ethics perspective, I assume that you're talking about that, yeah?
From any perspective, from an ethical perspective, from a quality perspective, from any perspective. And some might hold that against me, but today, for instance, I started thinking about what is responsible gaming, and I'm touching upon it already now in the interview, the responsibility of the operators compared to the game developers. Because no one is talking about the game developers. And as a gambler or someone that is not coming from the field, they might think that the casino are actually the guy that runs the games. And that's not true. It's actually the game developers are bigger than the casinos these days. One of the biggest companies is a game developer. And I was sitting and I was looking at this from a gambling perspective, and I saw a lot of responsibility that should be taken by the game developers, that no one is regulating them. So it's something that I can bring to the table as coming from the gambling field.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. You know what? I should really apologize for interrupting. And so, picking up the original point, you followed the advice of your brother and went off to work in the gambling industry. Can I ask what was your field of expertise industry-wise?
It all started about 13 months ago, so 2.5 years ago, on a way back from Malta to Sweden before Christmas. I started talking with a friend and we started thinking about how can we help people instead of working with gambling? What can we do, or what could I do? And we looked at Gamban, which are doing a really good job. I had an idea, okay, I could do that. I could do something similar. And then I continued my thinking. I wanted to do something different. I think Gamban is doing a fantastic job. And why do something where someone is already good? So I found some inspiration from Johan Hari in a YouTube video. I don't know the name. I think it's called "The Opposite of Addiction is Connection." And it really spoke to me, that video, that maybe there is something here. And I started reading research from, among many, the Rat Park Experiment by Bruce Alexander. And several experiments from Switzerland with drugs, and with in Portugal with drugs, and also in the US with the veterans from the Vietnam War. There was something there that I wanted to explore further. And what they say in this research is basically that there is something else. It's not just the substance that we get addicted to. There is something around. It's the environment. And I don't know where on the way I started calling that pain, but I believe pain is the cause of addiction, and we get addicted to escape pain. Then you can use gambling, you can use sex, you can use drugs, you can use alcohol in order to escape. But it's the escape you get addicted to, not the means you use to escape. Gambling is fantastic with that aspect. It's so effective at helping people escape their reality. And I believe that's why it's so addictive, or why people really find it so attractive. So we have developed Quit Gamble around the concept that pain is the enemy. We want to help people find what causes them pain in their lives. If it's loneliness, if it's stress, if it's not having a job, if it's worries about health, is it anxiety in general, if it's some old experience that still are causing a lot of pain in their lives. So helping people understand what caused them pain, and that might also answer the question why gambling is so attractive to them. So if I meet someone that has a gambling problem, my first question is, what is gambling doing for you? And trying to, instead of putting any kind of blame, any kind of guilt or any shame into talking about gambling, gambling addiction, I try to understand what makes it so attractive, because addiction has an upside. I believe addiction is a defense mechanism, something that helps the body or protects the body from pain.
And just picking up on that, because one of the early things that I did on Quit Gamble was to undertake the happiness test. I mean, when I took it, the results were pretty conclusive that I live a pretty stressful life and I'm worried about my health, which, to be honest, is a very accurate portrayal of how I see myself at this very moment in time. And by following some of the programs on there, I sure hope to change things. Now, can you explain a little bit more about the happiness test and what that entails and the programs that follow on from that?
Absolutely. So the happiness test is a test we developed, and it's based on Maslow's hierarchy of needs. For you who don't know about it, or for those who don't know about it, it's categorize needs in different on different levels, like step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And on the first level, you have the basic needs, basically basic needs that you need in order to survive. It's air, it's water, it's food. And the next level, you have safety, you have a job, maybe a house to live in. And then you have social needs on the third level. You have needs about power and self-actualization on the fourth and fifth level. And the test is based on the idea that if you get your needs met, you feel happy. So if you have your needs for friends and family is met, then you experience some kind of happiness. And the opposite, if your needs for family and friends is not met, you experience some kind of pain. And for me, pain can be any feeling that is uncomfortable, feeling you don't want to have, or any situation you don't want to be in. So when we talk about social needs, a typical one could be belonging. Your need for belonging is not met, or you're feeling lonely. So the happiness test is built around this concept. And depending on how you answer, you get different answer back. And the idea of the test is to get you to start thinking, to start questioning things. Okay, what happens here? It will not tell you if you're addicted to gambling. In fact, it doesn't tell you if you're addicted to anything. Instead, it tries to measure or estimate how much pain are you experiencing in your life. And depending on that, give you an idea of what caused you pain and if you are at risk of becoming addicted. I don't know if you're addicted, and the test doesn't know if you're addicted, but we can still estimate the risk of you being addicted or becoming addicted, depending on how much pain you experience. So when you've done the test, you get some recommendations. There are basic recommendations you can do, like go for a walk, something anyone can do. And then there are more specific recommendations based on where you find yourself on this hierarchy of needs. So for instance, in your case here, you talked about stress and worries about health. Then we have created programs for that particular source of pain. So we have developed an animated video course to help you beat loneliness. It's some ideas in there. It's based on How to Win Friends and Influence People, a very famous book by Dale Carnegie. He's one of, if you haven't read the book, read the book. It's an amazing book. And the videos are animated videos, so you find them anywhere on the page. I'm a lazy person when it comes to reading, so I wanted to create video content instead. Probably not the smartest thing from my side, because that was a lot of work, but for the user, I hope that will really be useful for them, that it's a fun animated video instead of reading a thick book about something.
I must say, I just want to interject there. I have seen some of these animated videos, and they are very well put together, I must say.
Yeah, we put a lot of effort into them, and so far we have created 14 or 15 different programs. So each program is targeting one kind of pain. And naturally, all pain in your life is interconnected. So if you work on your worries about your health, there are some tips there about how you sleep better, how you can improve your health by laughing more. And naturally, some stuff about eating and exercise. But instead of saying, hey, you should eat less sugar, I proposed to add some stuff to your diet instead, because everyone knows that they should exercise more. Everyone knows that they shouldn't eat sugar, and still they do that. So it doesn't matter if I tell them not to. It's better to say, hey, what if you eat some nuts every day, or you eat an avocado, or you take a fruit? Add that to your diet and continue eating what you do and just see what happens. So all the programs are based on simple principles. And hopefully, if we can beat loneliness, for instance, I believe that the person will not get the trigger of feeling lonely, because feeling lonely is a big trigger to gamble. I think many people can attest to that. And the same with boredom. It's also very common that people feel bored and then, hey, how do I solve this? Oh, gambling. So every program is designed to eliminate or help ease the pain at some level. Yeah, and it's also meant to inspire the person to seek more information, because I put together a video course, 5-7 lessons. Of course, that's not the full course. You need to do more things in your lives. But the idea is to inspire people and to get them through that course. It's more important they do 5 steps than they don't do any steps, right? So I think it can make a big difference for people.
And I definitely want to touch upon those on those programs a little bit later on in the show. And it's interesting that you should talk about, you know, laughing more and such, because from my own personal experience, I consider myself, you know, reasonably humorous, maybe away from the podcast, it's a little bit more serious. But I've always said to people, because people, I don't like having my photo taken, for example, and I find it really difficult to smile naturally. And I've actually explained to people, I genuinely believe that this is because from a bright, happy young child, in terms of what I've experienced through addiction and a number of other things through my life, that it's actually made me less expressive in front of a camera. And, you know, I find it difficult to smile. I find it really, really uncomfortable. What would you say to those that would say that they gambled regardless of their thoughts, feelings and emotions? It was their go-to for everything. What advice would you give to those people?
I would suggest, as I said in the beginning, ask yourself, try and ask the question, what is gambling doing for you? And usually the follow-up question on that is to see if, is it creating a moment of peace? Is it creating a moment where nothing else matters? And maybe the answers to these questions is the answer to why it's so hard to quit. I don't think we need to make things more difficult. I think there are enough people that are trying to make addiction very, very difficult. I try to make it simpler. I don't believe in making things more difficult, so ask yourself those questions and see what that leads you. It might be, I have got very interesting feedback on those questions from addicts in general, and it doesn't need to be more complicated. So it's a good start. I don't say that my programs are the best in the world in any sense, but it's a good start for someone. So that's what I will say.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you very much, Anders. Now, we're going to go for a quick break. But after the break, we're going to drill down a little bit more into the individual features of quitgamble.com and what the user can expect from their experience if utilizing it to its full capacity. So stick around and we'll see you in a hot minute.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to us today. The All Bets Are Off podcast is brought to you in association with Gamban, and they've teamed up with GamCare and GamStop to formulate TalkBanStop. The TalkBanStop campaign offers a trio of free tools to prevent gambling harm, with support via GamCare's National Gambling Helpline, free Gamban blocking software, and GamStop self-exclusion. Head to www.talkbanstop.com for more information. TalkBanStop is only available in the UK, but to block your devices from accessing gambling sites and apps, you can get Gamban at gamban.com or on the App Store or Play Store, wherever you are in the world. Now though, it's time to get back into the pod.
Welcome back to part 2 of today's pod, and I've still got the main man Anders with me, and we're about to talk about his baby, or continue to talk about his baby, quitgamble.com. Now, for the purposes of our listeners, many of whom I'm sure are intrigued by this concept and perhaps have already signed up to it before they've got this far into the pod, shall we start with some of the programs that are available? I know we were talking a little bit about them before the break. Obviously, many of us are familiar with, for example, the 12-step program in Gamblers Anonymous, for example. What makes yours a little bit different, and what can users expect?
First off, I must say that if a person is a 12-stepper and have found their way through recovery, I'm super happy for them. Yeah, I'm not trying to convey anyone to my program, and I'm super happy if anyone has found a way to deal with their problem, basically. And what makes us different is that we focus on pain, basically, that we believe pain is the enemy. And I also believe a happy person experiences less pain than a person where they are missing things, they feel lonely and so on. And a happy person has less reason to escape. So I believe, and this is my belief, that a happy person is more resistant to become addicted. And ultimately, for me, that's the goal, to help people become happier. Step by step, eliminating pain through the programs, through the community, and step by step, become a happier person. And when you become happier, I believe the urge to gamble will disappear.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say that in recovery, being well organized, having a strategy and goals is really important. And from my interaction with quitgamble.com, is I can understand why some of those programs would be beneficial for myself, for example, building self-confidence and easy ways to build to boost my health, for example, was one of the programs I believe on there as well. So these are some of the things that I think I will be practicing, putting into practice once I've taken the program. So yeah, it is slightly different, but as I say, I can't help but feel that I enjoyed what I saw from Quit Gamble simply because it was well structured and it gave me that structure. And I think that's really important, particularly when you're first coming into addiction recovery. I think that is super, super important.
Yeah, for us, it is a process. You do the happiness test as a first starting point, and it's supposed to be easy to do, and it gives you some information. Maybe it's new information for you. Maybe it's information that you just needed there on paper. And when you come into the website, you see all these programs at the same time, but at least you have some recommended program to start with. And my suggestion is that you do these programs and practice these tips and these exercises and challenges that are in the programs. And then after some time, you do the happiness test again. So it's you do it in like a circle. It's not like you finish. I don't believe that recovery is a straight line. I believe there will be some bumps on the way, and it's okay that it is. I see a relapse, for instance, as part of the journey. It's something that will happen, and you can either choose to learn from that, or you can go and feel really, really bad about it. And in the first program, I read a book called Change Everything. And it was so good, that book, that I felt, okay, I need to make a program in this, how to build a change plan. And one part of that is relapsing. And when you relapse, you realize that, hey, I need to change my change plan. I need to update it because I found a weakness in it. And when you start seeing it like that, you're building yourself stronger every time you relapse. And it's all about standing up again. It's not so bad that you fall. It's stand up again and try again and eliminate some of those triggers that made you relapse. And the change plan is a really good thing for anyone. And it doesn't matter what recovery you're doing. I think it's something that can help anyone prepare.
Well, while we're on this subject, I want to sort of go back to pre-conceptual stage. Perhaps we should have talked about this a little bit earlier, but I want to try and understand your motivation for developing this particular program, this particular platform. For example, I'm sure many of our listeners are thinking, hang on a minute, this is a gentleman here from the industry. What were your motives for developing quitgamble.com?
I want to make the world a better place. That's a big goal, but that's what I ultimately want to do. And I saw an opportunity where I could benefit from the industry knowledge I had, and I could benefit from all the programs that I have studied in the past, all the self-development I did, and all the interesting books I read. And I felt like, hey, I have something to add here. I have a different perspective on things and maybe a different background, and I believe that we could create something that adds value to people. And for me, helping people become happier or feel better and regain control of their lives again, I think that's a really good goal to have for me. And I feel I feel really blessed by working with this because I learn so much myself. Every day I sit and learn new things, and I can challenge myself to the end of the world with this, basically, because it's so broad. And I see every day new things, new perspectives on things, and new ways of doing things differently. And for me, that's very engaging.
That's fantastic to hear, and kudos to you for that, Anders. And just going back to the videos that we touched upon earlier, another slight change of topic, I must say that I've watched my fair share of them, and one of them I happened to watch just a couple of days ago, and the video in question offered a really good insight into what the operators, or indeed the industry, wants you to think and how they focus on anything but the truth. And some of the figures given in that video were quite startling regarding your actual chances of succeeding from a monetary perspective if gambling over a period of time, and how much those chances of being successful, I guess for want of a word, dips as time progresses. What other videos can we expect to see on Quick Gamble?
So we made a series about Can You Win? And we call it about Mystic Casino. And we made a series, I think it's four videos, about what's going on, who can you win at gambling, and why do people need to spend $10 billion in marketing to make you believe that? And we looked at the process, basically, the big plan that the casino has, or I call it Mr. Casino, it could be someone else, but in my videos I use that character. And we talk about what happens when you win, what happens in the brain when you win, and why is that the worst thing that can happen? And at the same time, you win and you feel like, whoa, I win. And at the same time, in the video, then the Mr. Casino stand, and he looks really happy. He celebrates at least as much as you do. And then is the question, does he know something that you don't? And why does he do that? And then there are videos about things that happens in a slot machine, how they are built up and why they're built that way. And I'm trying to take my experience from slots and the games and share that with the reader. And I think we have some unique insights that we get from all that time in the industry. We have also a part where we discuss affiliation and what is an affiliate site, and are they really objective or are they more or less bought? And naturally, there are some sites that are not bought, but most of them are. If you see a top list, the casino on top is not the best casino. It's the one that paid most money to be there. And that's the sad truth, but it is the truth. Then, of course, there might be a few exceptions out there, but 99% of them are not exceptions.
I mean, it's good to be building that knowledge base as well as you go through your journey. And having watched some of that content with regards to what we were just chatting about there, I could understand why I kept going back for more, albeit inexcusably, thinking that I could imitate those times that I did actually win those few times. I think that what I would say back then is sort of going on heaters, you know, and needless to say, I always gave it back. But I could certainly understand what made me reflect. I had a period of self-reflection where I was kind of like, okay, now I'm starting to understand a little bit more about how my brain was functioning at that particular time. It's a really clever tool.
What we want to do is basically give the information away to the users or to people that probably are gambling right now, that, hey, this is the chance of actually winning on a slot machine. And when I say winning, it's not about winning the $1 million. It's about winning more than you lose during an hour. And the chances are so, so slim. And I highly recommend you take a look at these videos if you haven't seen them. And it's the same. You can find information about addiction. We have a video that basically explains how we're thinking on quitgamble.com and why we are different, or how we are different from the general idea of what addiction is. Yeah, we also have developed a tool. We call it the gambling addiction curve, where we talk about the relationship between why you gamble and the risk you are, which risk you are at. Most people, when they talk about responsible gambling, they talk about limitations in the bets, deposits, how much time you spend gambling. And I don't like the definition myself. Yeah, I believe the only way to gamble responsibly is if you gamble for entertainment. That's the only time you're not abusing the game, or you're not doing it to win money, and you're using it for the right purpose, to simply add a little excitement to your life.
Yeah, no, 100%, and I totally agree with you on that point, Anders. And one of the other things I find really cool about the site is the social media type aspect. I feel that there really ought to be a platform which houses those with lived experience of gambling harm in order to connect, support one another and offer advice. And there is also a forum on there as well. It's a bit like Facebook meets MySpace for those that are trying to turn their lives around and following their battles with a problematic relationship with gambling. Was this the type of feel that you were going for when you originally set it up, that sort of developing that community?
So when I developed a community, I had a few things in mind. One thing that popped up in almost every program that I did or every book I read about self-development and so on is the power of helping other people. So when you help another person, you get more benefit from that than the person that you're actually helping. Your brain is rewarding you more than the person that is getting the help. And I wanted to build different functionalities. I wanted to give everyone that opportunity to help other people. So one of the things I want to do with the social community is to give people a chance to help themselves by helping other people. Another aspect that I want to do with this social network or this social platform that we're building is I believe that one thing that can really, really help a person that is desperate, a person that comes in for the first time, because my assumption is that that person is not feeling very good at the time. My goal is to make that person feel important. I want to show that person that, hey, you are important, not just to me, but to the whole community. You can add value to this, and you are a great person. And I believe that if someone is feeling really, really bad, and suddenly someone tells you, hey, you are a good person. You have your ups and downs, but in truth, you are a good person. And hey, I'd like to hear what was your experience in this. And I believe that you can help other people with your experiences. And building a social network or social platform for people with gambling problems, or I want to invite everyone to this platform. People that are gambling now, people that wants to stop gambling, people that has stopped gambled, and their relatives. Anyone that has any relation to this, I want to invite. I want to give them the chance. Because, again, one difference from the other services out there is you don't need to admit that you have a problem in order to come and seek help at quitgamble.com. It's okay. I want to reach out to everyone that feels that there is something. What is this? Everyone that has a curiosity about what we are doing. And we need to lower the threshold so these 80% that don't seek help today, at least check out, what is this QG? Who is that Anders Bergman? What is he doing? And is this something for me? I have talked with many addicts, and it's a lot of them, they don't want to admit that they have a problem. It's a very, very big thing to say, hey, I'm Anders, I have a gambling addiction. Very few wants to say that, and especially in front of a group of strangers. I think it's great if you can do that. I think it's a good step if you can admit you have a problem. But if the price of you doing that is that you don't do that, you don't seek help, then I'm willing to say, hey, you don't need to admit to have a problem. That might come later. In the meantime, you're welcome here and see if it's something for you.
That's I mean, that sounds pretty amazing. Obviously, you know, giving people that empowerment is really great. And, you know, I think there are plenty of people within the gambling harm community that feel that they have a place at the table where they can help others, but they just don't know necessarily the right way to go about it. And as I say, is to have a central place where people from across the world can go in there and help one another, support one another. And one of the it took me many years, you know, I knew deep down that I had an issue with my gambling many moons ago, but it took me so long because I felt I was the only one out there. So by having that community in place, a ready-made community, would be beneficial to so many people. And before we do wrap up, I guess my next question is what's next for quickgamble.com and what are the long-term objectives?
So we haven't touched upon that, but quickgamble.com is free. It doesn't cost anything to use at this stage. Maybe one time in the future we will have a subscription fee on it, but at this time it's not about money. It's about creating a tool that really, really works. And to do that, the users are a very big part of that. And I want to invite everyone to the platform to see if it's something for them. And the next step for us is to start reaching out to bigger organizations, talk with GameCare, talk with the Gambling Commission, talk with different groups in the US, talk with groups in Sweden. We have already established some collaborations across the world, and simply start showing ourselves, because we just opened up our doors. It's about 2 months ago since it actually was fully live. And we are still developing features. We are still working on making things easier. And naturally, we are in the starting still. We have 14, 15 programs today. In the future, I hope we have 50 programs, 100 programs, so we can be more specific in the plan we can give to the one doing the happiness test. Yeah, we are building features in there to simply trigger people to talk with each other. Facebook is fantastic, and there are a lot of interesting Facebook groups for gambling addicts, and it's great, but they don't trigger people to talk to each other. And that's one thing that I believe we can do when we are doing the platform.
And at least, you know, it's safe and well-policed, unlike, you know, something like Facebook, for example.
Facebook, if some people say Facebook is free, and yeah, you don't pay anything, you don't pay money for it, but you're paying with your personal data. And that's not anything you need to pay with on quitgamble.com, because it's, yeah, that's a big machine to collect data. And that's not interesting for us. We are trying to do something that helps people. We want to be a support, maybe an alternative for someone that feels, hey, I need help. And it could be anyone, no matter where you are in your process. If you are in if you're not ready to admit the problem, or if you had admitted the problem to yourself, or wherever you are, it's welcome. Take a look and see what we can offer you. And that's where we are right now.
Brilliant. And for any of our listeners, lastly, for any of our listeners that do sign up to quickgamble.com and they want to leave you some feedback, would that be possible?
Absolutely. We would be super grateful for feedback. So if anyone wants to send us an email or anything, please do. It's on the website. And we believe the users are the most powerful tool on the platform. And the more users we will have, the more we can create amazing tools to help them as well.
Well, it's been an absolute delight to speak with you today, Anders. I just really want to take this opportunity to thank you for coming on the program. And I'm intrigued by it all, and I've been on there. I'm sure many listeners will be too. But thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Ryan. Thanks for the invite. And I hope we can talk again soon.
Absolutely. And yeah, for our listeners, as I say, is I'm sure we've mentioned it enough during the recording, please go and check out quickgamble.com. It's a really great tool to use. And as Anders touched upon furthermore, it's totally free. I am on there, so feel free to add me on there and interact, and I'll be using it on the regular. And in terms of the podcast, we'll be back same time, same place next week. Ta-ta for now.
You've been listening to the All Bets Are Off podcast. To find out more about the creators of the pod, then please visit our website, www.allbetsareoff.co.uk. And don't forget to give us a follow on Twitter @allbetsareoff_ and share this podcast with others. Until next time, stay safe and remain gamble-free. Thank you for listening.